Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. And we are thrilled, as always, to have our book pick segment on Tuesday mornings. And it is Tuesday. It is morning. So it's time for book picks. Here we go. We have such a wonderful family of independent bookstores. And we're very lucky to have the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, with us this morning. Owner Phil Lewis joins us with a terrific list of books to share. Phil, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. Very nice to hear your voice. Thank you very much for being with us and taking time out. I greatly appreciate it. Where would you like to begin?
Okay, the first one I've got today is The Searcher by Tana French. And in researching for this review, I discovered that Tana French was born in Burlington, Vermont. So I'm going to claim her as a Vermont writer, even though she now lives in Dublin. Anyway, here we go. After 25 years as a detective with the Chicago Police Department and feeling battered following a bitter divorce from his wife Donna, Cal Hooper decides to retire to the bucolic west of Ireland. He buys a rundown cottage and camps out there as he slowly begins the renovations. It's going to be a long job, but he has time and nothing much else to do apart from his weekly phone call to his partly estranged daughter. Soon after moving in, he senses he's being watched, not just casually as a newcomer to the village, but something more intense. He sprinkles soft soil outside his windows, and, sure enough, there are footprints there the next morning. Someone has been watching him through the windows. He moves an old desk into the garden to restore it, hoping to entice the watcher to appear. He waits patiently, and then, on the edges of his vision, a boy slides into view and slowly approaches, watching intently. And so Cal meets Trey. Trey has heard the rumors that Cal is a retired detective. Trey's older brother, Brendan, is missing. Trey fears he has been taken. By whom or what and why, we're still to discover. He simply can't believe Brendan would have abandoned him and the rest of his family without a word. Trey wants to enlist Cal's help in tracking down what has happened to Brendan. Cal is conflicted. He realizes that this is the first time he has ever had the option of taking a case or not. In his former life, he was simply assigned a case and followed it through to its conclusion. Now he has a choice. But he's drawn to Trey and decides to make a few inquiries. In the process, he sets off a string of events which totally changes perception of the village and its quirky inhabitants. Tana French's writing is masterful. She vividly evokes the weather and the countryside of this patch of Ireland. You're transported right there and walk the back lanes and fields with Cal as he carries out his investigation. She's particularly good at capturing the weather, describing the insidious damp and the creeping cold. Here are a couple of lines. One day, the mountains are dim and ghostly under a heavy veil of rain. But the next morning is all soft mist, dreamy and innocent, pretending yesterday never happened. Her delicate description of the gradual building of the relationship between Cal and Trey is exquisite. This is a book to treasure.
Yes, it is quite a read. I greatly enjoyed it. It is The Searcher by Tana French, out now. Next up.
Next up is Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. This came out last year. The paperback will be out in a couple of months. We'll start with a definition. Wheelman, noun. A person who drives the getaway car in a holdup or robbery. For years, Beauregard Montage, known to his friends as Bug, was the best wheelman in the Southeast. He still races cars. Indeed, the book opens with a drag race. But these days, Bug leads an honest life as a mechanic, a husband, and a father. But business is slow. There's competition from another small repair shop recently opened. And Bug knows he will struggle to make the next payment on the loan he took out to open his mechanic's shop. A ghost from his past offers a solution. A jewelry store heist that can't possibly go wrong. They just need the right driver to pull it off. They just need Bug. At first, Bug emphatically declines the job. But as the loan payment looms and he's faced with the closure of his shop, he is relentlessly drawn back to his old life. To solve his money problems, he reluctantly agrees to be a wheelman one last time and promises himself to go straight from then on. Of course, the jewel heist does not go to plan, and the consequences are dire. Bug's family is threatened, and Bug has to use all his skills to find a way out of the blacktop wasteland he thought he had left behind. This is a fast-paced, hard ride of a novel. Cosby's spare language, tight and focused, work exceptionally well in conveying the desperation, the lack of options, the seeming necessity to commit just one more crime, the determination to have one last throw of the dice and to hope for something different and better. I haven't read Hemingway's To Have and Have Not in decades, but this is what Blacktop Wasteland brought to mind. This is a gripping read. Cosby is a wheelman of the keyboard.
S.A. Cosby's Blacktop Wasteland. I can say that? I know I can. Blacktop Wasteland. There you go. All right, next up.
Next up is The Smash-Up by Ali Benjamin. And Ali Benjamin has had two children's books published. This is her first book targeting an adult audience. It's a modern-day retelling of Edith Wharton's classic Ethan Frome. Indeed, just as in the original, one of the novel's key characters is named Ethan Frome. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I have to really concentrate. I grew up in a small town in Gloucestershire. One of the local rivers was called the Frome. The spelling is the same, so I might get mixed up.
Right.
Just like Wharton's Ethan, Benjamin's Ethan is living in Starkfield, Massachusetts. He and his wife, Zoe, made the conscious decision a few years back to move from the bustle of the big city to forge a new life in the Berkshires. A better life, with more meaning, they hoped. They were moneyed then, Ethan having cashed in his share in a startup he'd helped create. But now they're having problems. They struggle for money. One of the ways Zoe copes is to order furniture online they don't need. This only exacerbates the money troubles, and Ethan is constantly repacking the unwanted furniture and shipping it back for a refund. Their daughter, Alex, has difficulties at school. She speaks her mind in ways that others think inappropriate. Following an incident at school, she becomes the focus of a concerted effort by a group of parents to have her expelled. Then there's Maddie, the daughter of the owner of a coffee shop Zoe used to visit. Maddie has her own struggles, and Zoe invites her to stay with them while she finds her way. Maddie is young and fun, and has a way with Alex that makes home life a little easier on everyone. And Ethan is slowly falling for her. Everything comes to a head when Zoe is pulled over by the police for a minor traffic infraction. What begins as a simple caution quickly escalates into a full-blown argument about privilege and prejudice, and Zoe is arrested. Her friends rally round and protests are organized, and then comes the smash-up. I read the smash-up in one sitting, one blustery Sunday. The book fizzes and buzzes. It made me laugh, and it made me sad. Benjamin's take on the Supreme Court nomination is spot on. Her observations on the thoughtless cruelty of children are heartbreaking. I loved her, is there a word for this in another language, take and return? And I could go on. The Smash Up is a thoughtful exploration of relationships in society and what can go wrong with both and just how quickly. But it also offers hope, stressing the importance of celebrating the little things that bring joy to our lives.
The Smash Up by Ali Benjamin. All right, next.
Okay, next one is The Plot by Jean Hans Korelitz. This is a sneak preview. The plot will be released in May this year. We begin with a quote from T.S. Eliot. Or was it borrowed from Oscar Wilde? Anyway, here we are. Good writers borrow, great writers steal. After initial success with his debut novel, The Invention of Wonder, Jacob Finch Bonner has struggled to live up to his promise. His second book sold just 800 copies, 200 of which were purchased by Jake himself. His third book sank without trace, and now he teaches in an MFA program at Ripley College, Vermont, a job he hates. In his professorial role, Jake reads and provides feedback on his students' efforts. He tries to be positive, but fails, and is particularly annoyed with the smugness of one of his current students, Evan Parker. Jake admits Parker's sentences are well-crafted, but there's little flow or direction to the narrative in the few pages Parker lets him see. Parker is convinced his plot is what will sell the novel when it's complete. "It's the plot of plots," he tells Jake, "with such a satisfying twist that readers will love it, and his name will be made." Parker is reluctant to reveal the plot at first, but finally does share it with Jake. Shortly after finishing his course at Ripley, Parker dies. Jake stumbles across this fact and wonders whether Parker ever finished his novel. He searches the internet, but can find nothing with Parker's special twist. Jake's fourth book is going nowhere, and, almost in despair, he decides to take Parker's idea and write the novel. He calls it Crib. Jake justifies his theft with the notion that all literature is, perhaps, to some degree, derivative. But, at the same time, he's torn with guilt. Or is it fear? Fear of being exposed. 3 years later, Jake Finch Bonner is a household name. His latest book, Crib, has been a huge success. He's been touring on and off for 2 years. He's been interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. Steven Spielberg is interested in the film rights to the book. But his guilt eats away at him to such an extent that he cannot enjoy his newfound fame. He's constantly worried that he will be exposed, that someone will call him out as a plagiarist, that he will be consigned to the dumping ground of cheats. Then on his way to another book signing, the message he's long been dreading arrives. "You are a thief." But who knows, and how, and why have they chosen to expose Jake now? The plot works on so many levels. It's a beautifully written novel. It's a suspenseful page-turner, almost a thriller. And it's a clever exploration of what it means to be a writer. Hans Korelitz handles the nuances of guilt and remorse with great skill. And her plot, well, suffice it to say, the plot of the plot has a really good twist.
It is the plot, and we have, 2 minutes, and we have our final book.
Okay. We begin at the end, Chris Whittaker. It's been 30 years since Walk found the body of the missing girl, Sissy Radley, in woodland outside the coastal California town where he grew up. 30 years since his testimony sent his best friend, Winston King, to prison. 30 years. Walk loves the little town of Cape Haven. He's lived there all his life, and now, as chief of police, he watches out for the town and its people. They are his family. And he watches out for Duchess, the sassy daughter of one of his old school friends, Star. Star is an addict, barely coping, sometimes not coping at all. Duchess looks after her and her younger brother, to whom she is fiercely devoted. But it's a struggle, and she frequently gets into trouble. That's when Walk steps in, lending a helping hand, gently righting the sinking ship before setting it free once more. 30 years, how much has the little town changed in that time? And how much has remained the same? Now King is about to be released and plans to return to Cape Haven. Walk will be there to pick him up and bring him home. But how will he be received? What wounds will his return scratch open? This is a beautiful novel. The characters are rich and well-formed, real. There's a warmth to them despite their edginess. They deserve so much more than the life they've been dealt. But they struggle on, share what they can, and care for each other in subtle ways. This is a great read.
The name of the book is We Begin at the End by Chris Whittaker. And that is our end this morning. We are out of time, but I want to thank you, Phil, for being with us. It's always a great pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You can find out more information by going to the website for the Bennington Bookshop. It is BenningtonBookshop.com. BenningtonBookshop.com. Or for goodness sakes, when you're in Bennington, go visit them. It's a lovely, lovely place. Phil, it's always a pleasure. Be well. Have a beautiful spring.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you. Again, you can find out more by going to BenningtonBookshop.com. You can see the entire list and all of our book pick lists by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. We'll continue after this.